And thank you very much, Caleb. One of the things that I've seen in almost 35 years of pastoring is this. It's not the most talented people. It's not the people with the greatest abilities or the people who are gifted. It's certainly not the virtuosos of anything in life that God uses. God uses the willing. If you're willing and have whatever talent is in your hand, if you are willing, God will use you. And it's interesting because he said, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And what a great message. Thank you, Caleb, for that encouragement. Whatever you find in your hand, that use to the glory of God. And if you're willing, God will use you. Well, Hillman, make your way up to the pulpit, please. Hillman Kim. No stranger, of course, around Faith Baptist Church. I regard Hillman Kim as my Korean son, and we love him. He actually lives in our home, and we like him so much we let you stay around there, Hillman. He's a great kid. We're excited, though, for what the Lord has for him. Pray for him as the Lord is leading him directions that he has. I personally hope that he gets to stay in America for many years to come, but we'll see what God has. But Hillman, you come preach to us. Tell us what the Lord laid on your heart and speak English.
Okay, I'll try. Uh-huh. You know, Pastor Monty always teaches me the American colloquialism. Is that right?
Colloquialism,
yeah. Like, every time he used that colloquialism, I always, like, make my face like this. What? Like, he teaches me, like, tons. And he uses it a lot. Like, a lot. So, this summer has been a blessing. So, yeah, many people ask me, hey, what do you do as an intern? So I always answer, I do whatever the pastor don't want to do. That's my answer. And which is kind of true, actually. No, I'm just kidding. This summer has been a blessing. I enjoyed it. Caleb Walker, I can be intern with you all the time. I enjoyed it so much. And Shai Matthew, thanks for coming. I wish Austin was here, but he's a little busy. I thank God for bringing you guys in my life. I'm enjoying the friendship very much. And thank you for church. This is a loving church, gracious church, and generous church. I learn a lot. I learn by serving this church. It's a blessing. And I also want to say thank you to all my pastors. Is Pastor Ryan here tonight?
No, he's not here.
Well, it's fine. It's a blessing to have Pastor Ryan. He brought passion. He brought some vividness to our church. He got that. I love every time he raises his hand when we sing. I love it. I love his expression. I love his emotion. I love his genuineness. I'm really grateful that Pastor Ryan. Pastor Ryan and Tiffany genuinely love this teen group. Also, I'm also thankful for Pastor Jeremy. He's here, right? Yeah, he's right there. He just got here. I'm very excited for you. And then I'm pretty sure, I'm 100% sure God will going to use you, and then you're going to be a blessing to our church. And Pastor Ogden, where is he? I don't see him. Okay. Well, I'm not really a musical person, but I do appreciate his music ministry here. I sing in the choir, and then I enjoy singing in the choir. I think church would be really dry without music and without praising God. So I'm grateful for that. We need that. We need to praise God more. And there's Pastor Morris right there. Sometimes Pastor Monty says, Pastor Morris is the only adult in the office. Maybe not. No, I'm just kidding. He is wise. He's a wise man. I learned so much. I wish I can stay in the ministry just like you, as long as I can possible. I look for you a lot. You're a very needed man for this church. You bring wisdom. You bring balance to this church. I'm thankful for that. And there's... Hi, Pastor Wall. He's like my uncle. Well, Pastor Wall, we hang out a lot, and then he always, like, he tells me, like, my greatest enemy is myself. Well, it's the same. It's the same to me, but you're actually a humble man. You're more humble than you think, and you're wiser than you think. That's what I see through you. I'm thankful you got that amazing people skill, great common sense, which is very needed. I learned a lot from you. I'm very thankful for that. And there's Pastor Monty. Pastor Monty, you're my pastor. You're my pastor. You taught me Bible, you taught me ministry, you taught me how to be a man, you taught me leadership, you taught me a lot, and you and Kelly, what you have done for me is a blessing, is a grace from God, and I can tell God is using you and Kelly for me, so I'm just very thankful for you, I'm just very grateful. Pastor Monty, you're my pastor, you're my mentor, you're my fellow soldier in Jesus Christ, you're my friend. As a young minister, we have nothing but willingness, we have nothing but passion for Jesus Christ. As another young, clumsy Timothy, you're my generation's apostle. You're my spiritual father. All I can say is thank you, thank you, thank you, and I love you. We're not done yet, so turn your Bible to Philippians 4:13. No, Philippians 4, verse 13. I'm sorry. It's a familiar verse. I'm going to read from 11, from verse 11 through 13. The Bible says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, and for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." So when people think or talk about reality, we have that tendency to consider negatively. When we talk about reality, it's kind of more negative side. Reality is tough. Reality is more disappointing. It's not ideal. This is reality, and this is the reality that you're living in, and you just have to live it. And then some people say, I don't like it when people say this, I hate my life, or some people say, I love my life, or some people say, I hate my reality, I don't like this reality that I'm facing right now. And then some Christians, they pray to God, I want you to change my reality. I want you to fix my reality. I want you to bring some better reality. And it is real. Reality is real. That's why it is called reality. And all the difficulties, all the sorrow, all the pains, all the tears, all the sufferings, all the frustrations, all the misery, all the angers, those are all real. I'm not denying that. And Bible clearly talks about those kind of things, and Bible is also real, and I'm not denying all these hard, difficult things in our life, and that is real. And many Christians, they pray to God, give me better reality. I just can't do this. I want better than this. Maybe I think I deserve maybe more or better than this. And oftentimes I hear, including myself, I complain a lot, and a lot of people complain about their life. Instead of doing something new or better, harder, they just complain about their reality, and that doesn't change anything when you just complain about your reality. And if you pray to God to change your reality, God may say yes, or God may say no, or God may say nothing, because God allows what you need, not necessarily what you want. If God allows that kind of circumstances, and if God allows all the realities in your life, because that's what you need, or that's the result of your action in your past. And instead of just praying, I want you to fix my life, it's not going to happen very well. I want you to fix my reality. I don't like this reality. And instead of just praying like that, pray to God, give strength and wisdom to overcome those kind of reality. That's what we need. And Paul clearly understood his reality. Paul, Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter from jail. He was in the Roman prison, and then he wrote this letter from jail, and he says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am." It's Apostle Paul saying, "I'm learning. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And Paul didn't deny, of course, Paul didn't deny all the sufferings and all the pains in our life. Paul actually, he talks about it a lot. And he talks about it, he wrote the letter beautifully about the human suffering and all the human emotions. And these are all still reality that we are facing, the hard times, all the difficulties, that's real in your life. But instead of hating this kind of reality, you have to love your reality. You have to love it. So how can you love just hard thing? Why do we have to love this kind of reality? First of all, you are learning what you need. Jesus Christ, God is molding you. He's training you. He's literally teaching you. He's giving you a life lesson how to be more like Jesus Christ. He gives you this personal circumstance that you need. He's literally curing you. He's give that personal lesson. Hey, this is what you need, and you better overcome this, or you better make it. And often Christians, they don't even care. They don't even think about God when they face the reality that they don't like, and they just start to complain instead of praying. They just start to be negative instead of being positive or doing something better. And that's not what God wants you to do. You learn. You learn through this hard time. You learn to tough out. You learn how to pray deeper to God. You learn to get closer to God. You learn to be grateful even in the hard time. You learn to be strong. You learn to love people even when you don't want to. A lot of people, I don't want to love people, but I know I have to because people are crazy. Right? People are punchable. Did you know that, Christian? Not you. Did you know that, like, people are sometimes punchable, and punchable people, they don't know that they're punchable, and that makes them more punchable? Did you know that? Yeah. But we still gotta love them. God brings those kind of people in our life so that we can love them like Jesus Christ. God allows that kind of circumstances. God, you learn how to trust God more. You learn how to love and live your life. You learn this God-given life is a blessing. This life is actually a blessing, and you don't actually deserve it, but only by His grace. God wants you to realize and learn this life, this reality, even you hate. Actually, this is from me, and I want you to learn it. This is all my grace. This is all my grace. By the grace of God, that's who you are. Just like Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And if you think only about one reality, this kind of physical reality, I think you're missing big thing. You're literally missing really, really big one. I want you to tell you one more. God is your reality. God is your reality. He is so real. This book, Bible, please don't think this book as some sort of old good story or fairy tale or fantasy. This is so real. And then all the missionary stories that we heard, all the cool testimonies that we heard, those are all real. And there's, why not in your life? That can be real into your life. That's not just fantasy. It can be real, right? The Bible is not literally a fantasy, and Jesus Christ, He is actually so real in your life, more than you think. And then you do not separate Jesus Christ from your reality. God wants you to involve in your reality, like deeply and highly. And then if you start to separate God from your reality, and this is reality, and this is just spirituality, and I'm going to separate and this, and reality is just reality, and just I'm going to church, and just pray, read Bible, and just worship God. This is another thing. This is just spiritual thing. This is not real. This is all mental. This is all just mind. No. It is actually so real. If you allow God work through in your life, and when God becomes more and more real in your life, that is powerful, that makes testimony, that makes the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that makes you to love people more, that makes you witness, that makes you talk about Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ has done for you, that makes you pray to God more, and then you will realize that 2,000 years ago that Jesus came to this earth and He died on the cross and He buried, He resurrected, He's resurrected, and then that is actually so real in your life. And all the stories in the Bible, it is all real. Story of David, story of Moses, story of David, Moses, Abraham, Samson, Paul, Peter, all this kind of stuff is actually all real. Please do not think this is just old story, because it is so real. It's historically real, and then it is real in your life. And why not? God cannot be real in your life right now, right here, because this church is real. And this Bible, these three verses, Philippians 4 verse 11 through 13, these are so real. Make it real into your life. Make it real into your life. Please don't take just Philippians 4:13 as some sort of cool verse that you just put on your Instagram or put on your coffee cup. It's not like that. It must be so real. Actually, you can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengthens you, because that is the real, true statement. And then you can actually do all things through Christ, because Christ. Christ is your motivation. Christ is your inner strength. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. So, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But it's not me. It's Christ in me. Christ in you. You have Christ. If you know that, if you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, He's in your heart right now. And then you just don't consider Him as real. And that's why He cannot give strength to you. If you take Him as real more and more and more, you will realize how powerful this verse is. You can actually do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. Pastor Monty.